Let's do
Blog
it.
Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah.
It's African American Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome. Coming to you live on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday, wherever you are. Black History Month. We're going to do it right. All month long. Wait, all year long. And as always, brothers and sisters, there is no better, no greater, no better, no greater love than myself and kind. No greater love. That's the magical piece, brothers and sisters. No better, no greater love. Welcome to African American Empowerment Saturday. It is 365 days. That means it's year-round of motivation and personal empowerment for the African American community. That kind of means it's exclusive, right? Well, we're just working on ourselves, right? We're not eliminating anybody, but we're saying we're turning the attention to ourselves. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I said ain't. Yep, nothing wrong at all with that. And so as we continue to do the work, right, we're going to open our eyes a little bit more, right? And we're going to continue to produce content that's going to help us think about how we can resurrect ourselves, right? Positive in our mindset and be productive in the things that we do and say and how we treat one another and how we identify ourselves around the planet, right? So it's very important that we continue to evolve to a place where we are in that position again of authority, right? That we're ruling justly on this earth and that we're able to identify as the kings and queens that we are. That's not just a narrative. If you look at your genetic line, I'm talking to African Americans only right now. If you look at your genetics, it tells you who you are. You just got to now know who you are. And that's the work of changing our minds because we've been conditioned, right? Again, when we look at the totality of our situation and our history in this country, start thinking about where you're from for real. Your ancestors that were brought to this country or that were enslaved in this country, that the history and the memory of our history and our cultures have been eradicated from our existence. And so we walk around blindly. Now, we do exist and we persist to exist, but now there's time for a transition to a new reality that says we're better. We're healing. We're working on doing that work that needs to be done to edify ourselves, but also to develop, teach, train, and develop our young people, change our communities from the inside out, move the drugs to the side and start putting books and education and knowledge and productivity in again, producing things that we're making our own socks, our own underwear, our own shoes, our own pants, our own clothes. We have to become producers again, not just of children and chaos and confusion. But we already showed the world that even at the worst state, we're still producing, we're still creating because we're the best creators in the world. There's no doubt about it because everybody's trying to plug into us. But when we see the reality of how the world plugs into us and they follow and identify with us, but we don't take credit for it, right? All we do is produce for someone else, and now that time is up. Let's get on to the tenets of the NAAEA. Again, welcome to the show. Got a good one today. We've got Dr. Bruce coming up, Brother George Willie Lynch Kwanzaa, and we also have Be the One with Brother Booker and much, much more. We do have two live updates that should be coming through. One again from Egypt, from Cairo, Egypt, with my brother Rick Walker. Yep, that's right, from Egypt. And also we got activities going down in the Virginia, Norfolk, Tidewater area that we're going to get an update from Brother Hassan as well. All right, let's go to the tenets really quickly. Here it is. Politics. I'm spelling out peace. We need a political agenda because we need peace. We're going to have a peace day as well. So that's down the road, but we're going to tell you about it in the future. Oh, and don't forget, next Saturday, if you're in Richmond, stop by, right? We're going to be at the downtown library. Brother Kebelin is going to be bringing it. He's going to be doing a workshop. It's really, really good, right? I can't tell you the secrets. Sauce, right? Just come and show up, right? We're also going to have a panel discussion, which is going to be good. Have a few vendors there. We're going to show and tell, right? Our history. And we're going to do it properly, decently, and in order. Okay, so now for the tenets. We need a political agenda, right? You got to understand politics, not national politics, right? Not just global politics, but you need to know politics at every level, the local politics, wherever you live. You got to understand and be impactful in how those things work as we educate ourselves. In the political arena, we must understand the laws, right? Because we can empty the jails and free our men and our women if we will only understand how to navigate the system, because you can't cheat the system. You can't do it, but you can navigate it so that we stop falling into the traps and the tricks that continue to get us wrapped up in a system that keeps us working for free in some regards, right? And so that whole system needs to be changed, but that's another subject. Let's go and eat. Economic. We need an economic agenda and an economic platform that helps us to sustain ourselves when we build those institutions that define our own realities, our schools, our daycare centers, our community centers, businesses, and we do that right, where we employ and educate and train and develop our people in the way in which we are creating identities for ourselves and realities for ourselves, right? And then we produce on a mass scale, we got it. We got it. Next is the A. This is an individual piece, so now you can point the finger at yourself and say, I need to get my A together. What is your A? Athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. You got to take care of yourself. Mental health, physical health, emotional health. And that's just it. You got to start taking care of yourself, because we all know that we lead the league in the world in health disparities. Next is C, relevant cultural programs like this one and many, many more that really educate us on our history, our culture, and bring out the very best in who we are, and to be able to give us that confidence that we need. And lastly, the E is an education, which is a comprehensive education, right? That we become well-rounded, right? Holistic approach to doing things the right way and becoming the best people that we can be today and every day. Join us, www.naaea.weebly.com. It's all straight ahead of us now. All we got to do is stay in alignment. All right, it's the Stan Macklin moment. We'll be right back. It's my brother.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at. And this is what we're doing.
Brother Stan is so right, right? We need institutions that define our own reality. But who's going to do that for us? Nobody. Get that. Nobody's going to do it for us. Men and women of color, black people, Negroes, African Americans, whatever you want to call yourself, right? The formerly enslaved, we got to get our act together. We got to start producing in our communities. We got to start rearing our kids and parenting again. We got to be accountable and responsible, men. We got to be accountable and responsible, women. That's what we have to do. Somebody got to call it out, because that's the reality. All right, now it's time for my favorite segment. Brother Book is coming up close now, but Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with my brother George. Let's bring him in, right? Y'all know how we're going to do it. Rock with me now. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Bring it.
Bring it! What?
Right here. I see you rocking. We ain't going nowhere. We just getting started. Oh, yeah. Brother George, welcome to the show. We ain't going nowhere, brother. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. How about yourself?
Really, really good today. I'm excited. We got Black History Month. So we bring it the whole month, and then we're going to spin it around till we get back here again. Every day is Black History. How about that? What you got for me, brother?
That's right. Well, I'm going to use the same principle as last week, because I think it's appropriate for the time. Black History Month is still an important part of the year, even though I celebrate our blackness and our history year-round. But within the culture that we live in, it's a lot of us that just feel comfortable celebrating it in the month of February. So until we, you know, pass that hurdle, then this is going to be considered a very important month for black people. The principle is Kuji Chagali, self-determination. to define ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. Let me seek, find, and maintain that balance of freedom and control that allows me to fulfill my destiny in this life. Let me always act from my highest self and respond to the promptings of spirit within me. Like I said, that's Kuji Chagalia. And I think that's a very important thing we really need to be focused on now, is speaking for ourselves and creating for ourselves and naming ourselves. We need to really focus in on that. Today, I want to quote from a book that is probably one of the most important books of our experience here in the Americas under, because we were already here. That's why that discussion I'm not going to have today. But as far as our experience with the Ma'afa or the slave trade process, this book is probably one of the most important of all. And it's called The Souls of Black Folks by W.E.B. Du Bois, William Edward Burkhart Du Bois. Herein lie buried many things which, if read with patience, may show the strange meaning of being black here at the dawning of the 20th century. This meaning is not without interest to you, gentle reader, for the problem of the 20th century is the problem of the color line. I pray you then receive my little book in all clarity, studying my words with me, forgiving mistake and foible, for sake of the faith and passion that is in me, and seeking the grain of truth hidden there. You know, our writers during that time, they wrote very complicated, and that's the way that our people were educated back then. And so they used a lot of words that are not common to us today. Now, I want to follow up on Dr. Nathan Hale and Poussaint made a short analogy of W.B. Du Bois and the Souls of Black Folk. With this extraordinary work, first published in 1903, but even more pertinent today, W.E.B. Du Bois declared that the problem of the 20th century is the problem of the color line, and predicted the racial conflict plague our society. An Afrocentric thinker, writer, and scholar in a time of absolute white dominance, Du Bois urged the establishment of an all-black party and preached the need for black conscious self-realization and for the separate autonomy of the black community. At the same time, he stressed the white man's responsibility for correcting racial inadequacies and pledged to mutual understanding for a nonviolent solution to a centuries-old dilemma. As Dr. Poussaint declares in one of the two notable introductions to this volume, The Souls of Black Folks is a monument to the black man's struggle in this country. And the thing that I really appreciated about Du Bois is that, unlike many of the other leaders of the past, Du Bois was able to transform from one level to another. He started out as an assimilationist, meaning that, you know, everything white, that's what we need to follow behind, and that's what we need to do in order to be successful in this society. He moved on and continued on, and as you can see, he talked about black nationalism, and he eventually became a Pan-Africanist. And he lived out the remainder of his life, I believe it was in Ghana. You know, so he came a long way. And I think that when a person is able to transform from one level to another and levels that are so far apart from each other, it showed a lot of human dignity and growth within him. And so I thought he was the perfect example to kick off Black History Month with the Willie Lynch segment. So, Brother Marvin, if you have a question for me, then, you know, I'll be glad to answer to the best of my ability.
So thank you, Brother George.
That's me for
great.
Today. Yes, sir.
Great segment. Thank you, sir. Two questions today. First, right, for our new listeners, you're just joining us. We're doing this segment for a reason. Brother George is reading out of a book, right? So think about this, right? He is reading to us out of a book that he selects to educate us, right? This is the first form of education is through the oral history. And so we're sharing our oral histories, right, through books, right? Because we need that. Remember, in enslavement, the first thing they took from us was the knowledge of being able to, the ability to be able to read. Brother, so here's the first question is, why is the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment so important?
Well, Kwanzaa, to me, the brother took a great deal of time to put that holiday, well, it's not a holiday, to put that cultural day together. And it's the principles in it. If we follow those principles each day, we'll find that our lives will really get better, and that within that is the key to us unifying by following these basic seven principles. He didn't create them, but at the same time, they were put together at a time that it was needed, was very needed. Now, the Willie Lynch segment, it defines what, you know, to me, like, it's a lot of things that when you know your history, the answer to why things are done is very obvious. But when you don't, things can be very puzzling. And so the Willie Lynch segment was designed to counteract what Willie Lynch did. Willie Lynch made us look like we were buffoons and that they could just steer our thinking and everything through emphasizing on, for example, light skin. If you're light-skinned, then you're smarter. And our people still kind of believe that today, that the closer you are to white, that you're probably more intelligent than somebody that's dark-skinned. And so I wanted to read out of different books about our historical and cultural experience to make an attempt to reconnect us back to our historical continuity, which it was broken during the slave-making period and the time that we were enslaved. Our historical continuity was broken. And so by reading through Willie Lynch and referring different books that really can help educate you to our people's struggle and the accomplishments that we've made as a people, that I think that that segment is very, very important. And I hope that answers your question, Brother Martin, your two questions. Oh, that's just one, right?
That was part one. Now for part two,
okay.
You mentioned in the Kwanzaa segment, acting from our highest self. Acting from
yes,
our
sir.
Highest self. Can you unpack that for me, please, sir?
Yes, sir. See, the lower self is like just you as an animal. You know, you have certain animal instincts like sex and eating and things of that nature. You know, those are things that you just do because it's almost instinctual. But the higher self is when man was elevated into Homo erectus and began to think, began to understand that there was a world out there that needed to be defined and needed to be somewhat conquered, you know, to the discovery of what is in outer space and starting the counting number system and then transforming that number system into how do you add up 1,000 times without putting 1,000 ones in a row. And so it was in our thinking stage, in our highest mind, where you would be considerate of other human beings, that other people exist, and that you would be considerate as a male, that the female is weaker than you and needed to be protected from the elements and needed to be protected from the wild beasts. And it was your job to be that protector. And we needed to figure those things out. It didn't just happen just naturally. Those things had to be figured out. And so that is why, you know, that's important. And I hope I didn't get sidetracked from what your original question was, but it's very necessary for us to do those things. And I hope I answered your question.
You hit it right on the head, brother. You hit it right on the head. Thank you so much, sir. Again, wonderful segment, and we look forward to hearing from you later on in the show. All right, now it's time for our next segment. Brothers and sisters, are you ready to be the one? Take that ownership of being the one. Things change in our lives. Brother Booker, bring it. What you got? I got to do it, y'all. Brother Booker, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, my brother. How are you?
Well, sir. Doing well.
Good,
what you
good.
Got for us today?
Well, as always, when I start this segment, I say to all the brothers and sisters within the sound of my voice, peace be unto all of you. And this week we're going to talk about the ninth characteristic or quality of the one. And since you think we've got some new listeners out there, I'm going to go through all top 10, just say what they are, but focus on number 9, the characteristics of the one. The one is honest with himself. The one loves himself. The one loves his people. The one believes in himself. The one believes in his people, even if they don't believe in themselves. The one always stands for what he knows is right, even if he has to stand alone. The one loves for his brother what he loves for himself. The one is a great communicator, and he knows how to listen. The one is not afraid to die for what is right. And number 10, the one would rather serve in heaven than to rule in hell. Now, number 9, today's one characteristic we're focusing on, says the one is not afraid to die for what is right. In explaining this, I'm going to use an example I used to tell some students who were aspiring drug dealers. And I said, if you want to be a drug dealer, the first thing you need to do is ask yourself 3 questions that you need to answer yes to. Are you ready to go to jail? Are you ready to kill somebody? And are you ready to be killed? And if you can't answer yes to all three of those questions, don't mess around with dealing drugs. Because you got to understand that. The one is not afraid to die for what is right. If you're not willing to die for what you know is right, then you can't be the one. Because in being the one, the threat of death may come upon you. Because being the one, that's what goes along with being the one. And I relate back to biblical teachings of Jesus, if I will. You've got to be willing to stand alone for what you know is right. The one is not afraid to die for what is right. Because if you're afraid to die for what is right, then you will live your life doing what is wrong. Let me repeat that. If you are afraid to die for what you know is right, then you will live your life doing what is wrong. And that has basically been us, brother. We can show the devil in us, but we can't show the God in us. We do some devilish things. We can show the wrong in us. We can show the bad in us. We can show the evil in us, but we can't show the greatness in us. We can't show the God in us. That's the greatness in us. And you got to be willing to die for that, brother. That's the ninth characteristic of the one. Thank you for the opportunity as always, my brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother Booker. Before you go, how do we begin to show that greatness within ourselves? It's the first step. How you show that greatness?
You're taking me back to the first characteristic of the one. We must be honest with ourselves. We must be honest with ourselves. Then we must love, and being honest with ourselves, we'd have to admit as a people to ourselves that we don't love ourselves as people. Then we have to admit the circumstance from what we are in, get an understanding for how we got here, what's causing us, what's driving all the things that we're doing, what has helped put us in the situation we're in, and understand then that I don't love myself, I got to love myself. I got to love my people. Because if I love me, I'm going to love my people. Same as vice versa. If I hate myself, I'm going to hate my people. I'm either going to see me in you, or see you in me, and see the greatness, or I'm going to see, when I see myself as a nigga, I'm going to see you as a nigga. That's the hatred that's in us. Then we have to believe in ourselves. Believe in us, in yourself as a person, in us as a people. Understand that the greatness is in us, that God is in us. That's why I say I'm searching for the God in me. I'm searching for the greatness that I know is in me. And then the one he believes in his people, even if they don't believe in themselves. I know you great, brother. You don't have to tell me. I know who you are. Come on, I see you, I see me. And I'm always stand, then we got to stand for what we know is right and stand together, even if we have to stand alone. I'm going to stand. If nobody else does it, I'm going to do it because I know it's the right thing to do. And I'm going to love for you, my brother, what I love for myself. That's what I'm going to be about. I'm going to love for you what I love for myself. Life ain't about me. It's about us. God didn't put me on this world, on this planet, to be selfish, to be doing my individual thing, to be trying to get mine. No, sir. It's for us to build us, for us to create heaven in our image, in our likeness. That's what it's about. And we do these things. We talk to each other. We communicate with each other. We listen to each other. Sure, in this day and age, we're going to have disagreements, but we agree not to be disagreeable because we get an understanding of ourselves and each other, brother. And like I just said, and in doing all those things and standing for all those things, if people hate what we're doing and fearful about what we're doing and see us as a threat, then see me as a threat because I'm doing the right thing and I'm going to die for what I know is right. And I definitely would rather serve in heaven than to rule in hell. That's what we must focus on, brother, one step at a time. And it starts, you know we always say, it starts with you as an individual. Starts with each one of us. Because if we all be the one, we will find each other. That's it, brother.
All right, Brother Booker. You said it all.
Sir.
I love it.
Thank you, sir.
That's it. Be the
Thank
one.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Be the one.
What
Thank
more
you,
can
sir.
You say than that? I like it. Brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, you heard it. Right, you had Willie Lynch, you had Kwanzaa, and you've been challenged to be the one. Very first step is to be honest with yourself. There's some things that we just don't about what's going on in our communities. Just are, right? But we had the power to change it if we're really ready, willing, and able to go to work and do the changing, holding ourselves accountable. That's how you be the one, right? But it begins, it is two good principles, right? That is love for self, loving your people, loving yourself, and being honest. That's basically the golden rule. If we could get that down, then we can go to the next steps in the process. Are you willing to do that? That's the question. Are you willing, number one, to be honest with yourself about who and what you are and how you roll, right, how you come across in your own personal dealings, right? And then the next thing is, are you willing to put all of that down and be able to sacrifice yourself, your time, and your energy to do something good in your community? It's time to give back for some of y'all. Some of y'all, it's time to give up, right, those old ways and transform and transition so we can translate into a better people with better causes, right? But it starts with us. It starts with you. It starts with the individual. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you, Brother Booker. And now we're going to we got Brother Dr. Bruce coming in just a few minutes. He's at a conference right now, so he's going to get in a bit late. But I want to send you over to our website. It's www.naaea.info, I-N-F-O. That's naaea.info. And what I want you to do is go over there to our project page where we have our products, and we're doing the Black Educational Prints, right? It's the collective consciousness series, right, where we've gone through, is not we, Brother George is going through, and he's pretty much labeled and identified who we are, the names that we've been called around the world, right? And so once we identify with who we are, then we can do the work. So we want you to get a commemorative shirt, go out there, purchase it, just add to the cart, right? But the Black Educational Collective Consciousness series is the of edge, right? It's a tool that we're using to bring knowledge of self forward. It's cultural enrichment, right? Social and emotional learning, because he's also doing workshops, right, and trainings for youth and adolescents on their history and culture. And then it's in the form of a t-shirt where they can see it. And our kids are wearing those t-shirts proudly right now. So go out, right? Doesn't cost a lot. But what we spend on stuff, $25 is not a lot to support a great cause in this country, particularly when we're trying to generate the economics that we need to build a nation ourselves and build a community and employ ourselves, right? How do we put ourselves to work? We got to invest. Are you willing to invest in what you feel that is a worthy cause? And I think this is one of them, as well as many, many others. So go out there and do us a favor, right? And also, it's time to become a member, right? All you got to do is decide, I want to be a member. Doesn't cost you much at all to become a member as well, right? We got our newsletter coming out hopefully next month. Oh, and by the way, next Saturday, we're going to be in the downtown library, right? We're featuring Brother Akabulan, right? He's going to be bringing it for real next week, and you don't want to miss it. So if you're around and if you're in town, come on down. And here what Brother Akabulan is putting down, he got a word. I saw the outline. You don't want to miss it. It's some good work that's going to be going on next week, right, as we continue to celebrate Black History It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment for our African American community. Did I say downtown Richmond? Did I? Thank you. Appreciate that. You always looking out for me. See, I got people on it, getting me on the job. All right, so that's what we're doing. Downtown Richmond. Okay, thank you. All right, so downtown Richmond next Saturday, right, which is the 10th, we're going to be, no, is that right? Yeah, the 10th. Okay, yeah, we're going to be downtown, Brother Kebulin. Let me see. Hold on a second. Let me see. There he is. Let me see if I can get him in real quick. Brother Kebulin. Brother Kebulin.
Hey, Marvin. I'm just enjoying the program today.
All right. I just give him a little tidbit, right? You're going to be our featured speaker. Don't give them a whole lot, but tell them what they can look forward to next week. Just a little. Don't give too much. Don't tell them too much. You got to want to get the anticipation up. What you got, bro?
If I tell the title, they should do it. How about the title?
Okay.
You
just
tell the title?
Yeah,
give a title?
None more.
The title is.
Okay, but just a little bit.
Why was Jerusalem, Virginia changed to Cortland, Virginia? Erasing the memory of Nat Turner. Why was Jerusalem, Virginia changed to Cortland, Virginia? Erasing the memory of Nat Turner. I will say this, right? My signet or signature is always give people like Marvin, George, and Bruce something they haven't heard before. That's always been my goal. I could never figure out why a preacher would be on fire one Sunday, and next week he's cold when he's a year old. He's a day older, you know? So I always give people something they haven't heard before. And I can guarantee you that I don't care how old you are, how seasoned you are, I'm going to bring something to the table you haven't heard before. I can guarantee you that. And I will leave it at that, Marvin.
All right. Thank you, brother. Come on down to the downtown library in Richmond, Virginia. On next Saturday, we'll do a live show from there. So if you can't make it, you'll be able to hear it as you call into our station line or call in live. And again, why was the name of, I believe you said Cortland or Cumberland, Virginia changed to, no, Jerusalem changed to Cortland or Cumberland? Which one is that, Kevin? Let me get you back real quick.
Why was Jerusalem, Virginia changed to Cortland, Virginia? Erasing the memory of Nat Turner. Why was Jerusalem, Virginia changed to Cortland, Virginia? Erasing the memory of Nat Turner.
That's going to be our Black History Month special. And then a show after that, a live show like we're doing now. And then we're going to come back again, and we're going to have Dr. Bruce live, and he's going to have some information for you as well in a live show. So we're doing two live shows for the month of February, Black History Month, as we bring in Brother Kebulin, and he will have his book as well. So you want to see that. Right, you want to get a copy of that, right, to educate yourself. And then the week following that, we'll bring Dr. Bruce in on the 24th here in Richmond. So make plans. If you're out of town and if you're in the mood to travel, come on and get with us so we can see you and meet you and shake hands in brotherhood and fellowship. That's at the downtown library in Richmond, Virginia. And we've got a great, great, great opportunity. Also, inside of that, we're going to have panel discussions, right, on pertinent topics, right, that's really at the forefront of what we need as people of color to change and exemplify what we need, what we're asking for, what we want, what we desire going forward, right? And again, the only way change is going to happen is that we create that change ourselves. It's African American Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment. Slido is in effect today. Right? The number is 402-0645-402-0645. Slido is in effect. Go out there and bring us some good stuff to comment on. And so here's the good part about Slido, right? You may not be the kind of person that wants to talk live on the air. You may not be that person. So all you got to do is just type in your thoughts, because I know you have them, right? Don't keep them to yourself, right? So while we're waiting for Dr. Bruce, let's go over to Slido
and let's see what we got so far. All right, the first question is, where do we begin to believe in ourselves again? Where do we begin to believe in ourselves again as we celebrate Black History Month and African American Empowerment? And we have been so damaged and so traumatized living in this system. Where do we begin? That's a good question. If you got an answer for that question, just go ahead and put it in the Slido. Again, that's Slido.com, Slido.com/4020645. Slow it down, Marvin. Slido, Slido.com/4020645 is the number, right? Get on over there. 845-277-9250. www.naaea.info. You can learn more. Become a member. We need your membership. We need your friendship. And we need your partnership all in one. Let me get, let's see if I could go back to Brother George real quick. Brother George, you there?
Yes, sir. You know I'm here.
I appreciate you, brother. Where do we begin? The question is, where do we begin to believe in ourselves again because we're so damaged and traumatized living in this system?
You begin with yourself, you know, like it's a lot of introductory books, because trying to just jump straight into a complicated book that explains the African and African-American experience in the world, sometimes it's too much and you're just going to put the book down. But you have books like Introduction to African Civilization by John G. Jackson that it takes you from the introductory stage. And then you have Introduction to Black Studies by Marlana Karanga, who came up with Kwanzaa. He wrote a textbook for the universities, and that book has little bit of everything in there, a little bit of everything in that book, Introduction to Black Studies. And I would advise you, you know, if you can get a hold of it, to get it and start reading this book. So you don't have to read the book like it's a reading book. You can read one chapter or one segment of a chapter, and it will get you on the path of thinking of yourself in a different way. Because a lot of times I think as African Americans, we think of ourselves in one way of how we're defined by the overall culture. And what that also leads me to is the pictures that you see of Africa. You know, when you see commercials about Spain or about Italy, you know, Rome and stuff like that, you see these beautiful pictures and all of that. But the only pictures you see of Africa is usually little children with flies flying around their noses and living under poor living conditions and needing water and, you know, because the water's polluted and all that. That's not all of Africa. And every continent has its groups of people that are in poverty. Every continent has that. And so for them to choose on the African continent, the worst, but they be flocking there and wanting to live there, why? If it's so poor, sure, and so bad, so, you know, it's because it's not that. And so we have to do things to reinvent ourselves and to also re-understand who we are as a people, Marvin.
Thank you, Brother George. I want to see if I can get you all, if who's listening at the sound of my voice, to make a commitment, right? To learn more about Black history and Black culture, right? Just go out, Google it. You can call Brother George. He got a whole library, right? He got the book. He got Alexandria Library and his, you know, in his kingdom. He can tell you a whole lot of stuff. Brothers learned, right? Brother Kebulan learned. Dr. Bruce learned. These brothers are scholars, right? And so these are the men that we can continue to learn from and educate ourselves and reorient ourselves, right, to the true reality, not like what we've been taught, right, as individuals in this system, right, of oppression, but the real history and how the reality of it has shaped how we see ourselves. Again, the brother said we got to be honest with ourselves. Are we really willing to be honest with ourselves about the condition that we find ourselves in post-slavery and post-mass incarceration, post-segregation, right? So we're in a different era. We got knowledge and information at our fingertips, right? But will we choose to educate ourselves or look at housewives? Now, I ain't knocking if that's what you do or watch the football game. That's cool, but and in the process, are you willing to develop yourselves and put your children in position to be knowledgeable so they can walk around and play with their chin up and chest out, feeling good about who they are? There's nothing wrong with that. Let's go back to Slido. Next question.
Okay. All right.
What would you recommend as the best tools for helping our folks connect to our heritage, to ancient Nubia or our civilization that predicates 1619? That's a good question. All right, I'm going to get you in there, Brother George, and I'm going to go to Brother Booker. Would you recommend the best tools for helping our folks connect to our heritage? It's Black History Month.
Well, like I said, you can learn a lot from looking at the different DVDs on YouTube, because a lot of our great scholars did lectures, and those lectures are on YouTube. And you can learn a lot by listening to those lectures, because reading sometimes doesn't happen fast enough for some people, because many of us are visual learners. And so it's easier to learn through watching someone talk on the accomplishments of our people. And so I hope to answer the question, brother.
All right. That's great. That's great stuff, Brother George. Right? And we have to do the work of educating ourselves. Nobody else is going to do it for us. All right, here we go, back at Slido again. Right, y'all lighten it up for me today, okay? Brother Booker, how do you suggest we begin to become honest with ourselves? Let me go over to Brother Booker. Slido is asking you a question. Brother Booker, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Slido is saying, how do you suggest we begin to become honest with ourselves?
Well, simple thing is, first of all, you know you. You should know
That's
you.
True.
I know me, okay? I know me. So when I want to be honest with myself, you know you. And if you don't know you, the answer is in you, okay? I had to admit to myself, I can't 100% for 100% certainty tell you what happened 100 years ago. I can't tell you what happened 200 years ago for certain, 300 years, 1,000 years ago. I can't for certain because I was not here. So everything I'm going to supposedly know about our past is stuff I've been taught. Somebody else told me his story. So I had to learn that before I'm going to believe in his story or what someone else tells me, I've got to first know who I am. And how do I do that if I don't know my past? I look at me, inside of me. Who am I as a person? I know me. Am I honest? Am I faithful? Am I loyal? Am I right? All those things. Am I a liar? Am I a cheater? Am I all those? You know you. And then knowing who you are, we can rediscover our past that we don't know in us. Because I believe, or I know my ancestor or our ancestors, the gods that we say we descendants from, are in me. and I'm just like them. I've just got to rediscover myself in me and bring my past to the present. Then we can create our future. But being honest with yourself, you know who you are. Every time you tell a lie, who knows? You do. So we must be honest with ourselves. If you're going to say to yourself, I'm weak as a person, as a man, I'm not this, I'm not that. Okay, if you're going to admit, if you admit that to yourself, then do something to change it because you know you can. You know it's in you. But we got to be honest with ourselves. And I'm not just individually, but the situation that we are in. Be honest with how we got here. Why we even have these questions about, I got to be honest with myself. How did I get here? What's the cause of this? And admit those things and dissect those things and move forward. Because to move forward, we got to be honest with ourselves. As I've said before, to solve any problem, we must first identify the cause. And we got to look at ourselves. That's, again, short, sweet, to be honest with yourself. Starts with you. You know you. You know you, who you are. If you don't, the answer is in you. No way, but we got to learn, we got to get to the point where we stop letting someone else teach us who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to read a book to tell me anymore who I am. The answer is in me. You know? That was all part of slavery to take your knowledge of yourself from you. And to kill the greatness in you, we have to rediscover those things that's in us, brother. I hope that answers
all
the question.
Rediscovering. The question is, what's causing all this? And all you got to do is look around and then figure out what you're doing and change you and get to work on that. It's Black History Month, right? It used to be Black History Week at one time, right? Dr. Carter G. Woodson did a good job of putting that on the map to get us to educate ourselves. So I want to go to Brother Kebulan again real quick. Again, we're getting to the top of the hour, then I'll go to the lines and open it up. Brother Kebulan, real quick, why is History Month so important for our people?
Why is what?
Why is Black History Month so important for our people? The celebration of Black History Month. What is Black History Month in general?
Before I get there, I want to answer the other question that came before that, right? You got to accept the fact that we don't know it all. I take a position, those who know and know they know, don't. And those who don't know and know they don't, do. So if you accept the fact that you don't know it all, then you open yourself for knowledge. A lot of times you think you got it all, and you won't hear anything people have to say. And what's the question you asked just now?
Why is Black History Month important, or the celebration of Black History Month? Why is that important to us?
Well, see, we're all one human family. We're all one human family. And you got some sages and some spiritual people say, why you got to incorporate an African approach? We're all one family, right? Yes, that's if you look at the world the way it should be. But that's not the way the world is. The way the world actually is, we were told everybody made accomplishments with special Europeans, and we haven't accomplished anything. And that's why it's important, because we got to set the record straight.
Beautiful. Thank you, sir. How do we set the record straight? You got to educate yourself. Right? Like Brother Booker said, you got to be the one, right, and start doing that work, right? But as we think about our history, it just doesn't start like with enslavement, right? And so there's so many beautiful things that has happened inside of our experience here in America that we have made a myriad of contributions to this culture and this country and this society, right? Nameless, right? So many inventions, right? So many productive ways that we've been creative, right? And when you think about how we continue to evolve and continue to create, right? Just like I'll take, for example, rap music, right? That's probably one of the latest inventions, right, that we can actually say that we've created, right, even in this modern era.
not to mention the technology, right, of the first female computers, if you will, right? The sisters who were intelligent enough to do all the plotting and the mathematics for NASA, right? You know your history. You'll know those beautiful minds came from sisters, right? So your first computers as we know them were our sisters. And so much more. I want to go back to, though, like, and really tying our history back, like, in the ancient cultures, right? So it's so many ancient contributions to the world, right, that come directly from our ancestors that many of us don't know about, right? So just do your research, right? Go out and you just put in ancient inventions, right, or ancient African inventions and see what you come up with, and then start to explore and encourage that exploration with your children so they can know, right? That is what African-American empowerment is all about. It's about education, but it's also about culture and information, and that's what we're trying to do. We're getting close to the top of the hour. Dr. Bruce is supposed to be coming in, and he's at a conference today, and he said it would wrap up around 2:30, but he's running a little bit behind. So we're going to continue to do what we do, that's educate ourselves. So before we get to the top of the hour and I open the lines up, let's go back to Slido. All right, and it says, when is the NAAEA going to lead an effort to facilitate our pilgrimage to the motherland? Oh, that's a good question. I don't know who that is, but you got me on that one. As soon as possible, right? And so Brother Ishmael, he's been on the show before. Brother Ishmael is our, he orchestrates tours, and he's been taking tours to the motherland, Morocco, and different areas in Egypt. And so if you're interested in doing a tour of Ghana or of Egypt or Morocco or something like that, where we can put together a cultural tour, or even Jamaica, right? And we do those tours ourselves in Jamaica. So if you want to go to Jamaica, call me. We can make that move happen. But it's the cultural piece, because even in Jamaica, for example, their cultural experience is so close to ours, right? And so that's like our brothers and sisters, right, over on this side. And we all are related, because we all basically came from the same place and was brought over here to do the work. Anyway, again, that is, we're looking forward to growing and developing that tourism piece, where we can take brothers and sisters, right, to the motherland, right? We have connections on the ground right now that we can introduce you to families and get a good cultural tour, get some good food in you, right, and learn what you've been missing. And I'll tell you, the greatest piece that could ever happen to you if you haven't gone is to have that airplane to land, and you step foot on the motherland, and somebody that looked like you, just like the pilot that flew you in, says to you, welcome home, brother. Welcome home, sister. That's when it happens. And then you get to see your people running governments and with their faces on the money, right, flying in planes and making things happen. And you go to the market in the village where they're selling and producing. That's what we got to get back to. We lost that piece and producing. All right, we're getting close to the 3 o'clock hour, and I'm going to open up the line. One more slide. It goes back to you, Brother Booker. All right, it says, how can I teach my son to be the one? Let me get on over to Brother Booker. Brother Booker, they after you today. They want your knowledge. How do you teach your sons how to be the one? I'll come back to him. I'll try to answer that for him, right? The first thing you got to do is teach your son to be honest with himself. Right. If you teach your children to be honest, honesty is a great, great, great policy that we have to operate in. And that is the key to relationships. So, Brother Booker, you can come on in when you're ready. Honesty is the key to every relationship, right? Because we have to be able to trust each other. So we talk about Black history and all that, but it's relationship, right, that's missing on this side of the hemisphere. It's relationship that we have to continue to foster with ourselves. And the first thing is, not only have to be honest with yourself, we have to be honest with each other. How do you teach your children to be honest with you about who they are and what they're doing? Because if your kids can come to you and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, you can respect them and they can respect you, right? And that's how love is fostered. Love cannot be fostered in mistrust. Can't do it. Brother Booker, you there?
Yes, sir. Did I miss a question? I stepped away for a minute. I stepped away for a minute, so I may have missed the question.
Here's the question. How can I teach my son to be the one?
Set the example. You know? Lead by example. And you explain. We said the first thing we need to do is teach our youth these characteristics and qualities, and we must first explain each one of them to them. For example, what does it mean to be honest with yourself? And you tell them, you know, like I've asked children the question I mentioned earlier. When you tell a lie, that's somebody that always know you lying. Who is it? And some of them say, oh, my mama, my uncle, my dad. You know, say, oh, this is it. And the answer is, and I explain to them, the answer is you. You always know when you're lying.
Mm-hmm.
You always know when you're lying. Because to tell the truth, to tell a lie, you must know the truth. If you don't know the truth, then you're not lying. You can't lie. If I lie to you and then you repeat my lie to somebody else, you're not a liar. I just lied to you. And you're spreading a lie that you don't know is a lie. But when you know the truth and you tell a lie, you know you're lying. And I know that's hard because my grandson and, you know, just I guess it's just a natural thing at first, his instinct to lie to keep from getting a whipping or whatever's coming to you, and you do that instead of just telling the truth. You know, when we were younger, they tell the story about George Washington, how he refused to tell a lie when his parents asked, did he cut down the apple tree? Yes, I cannot tell a lie, I cut down the apple tree. You know, we got to understand that we got to teach them not to be afraid of the truth. Afraid to tell
Come on,
the
brother.
Truth. Don't be afraid to tell the truth. Tell the truth. Because they'd be fearful of telling the truth and they lie. Because the old show said truth has consequences. But respect, they got to get a respect for themselves. And I think, and a key thing, again, I mentioned earlier, is we got to set, for our children, we've got to set the example. We've got to tell the truth. We've got to be honest
True.
With ourselves. We got to show them the love that we have. We can't tell them that we love ourselves and then we show them that we hate ourselves. And when I said selves, when he said be honest with yourself, the word self is defined, one definition of the word self is defined as people are the same color. So when I'm being honest with myself, meaning I'm being honest with me individually, and I'm being honest with you, brother, I'm being honest with you, sister, I'm being honest with myself. Because I can't be honest with me as an individual, but then lying to you, that's not being honest with myself. So we have to accept the example. I know it's kind of a little bland, a little short, but that's it. Because when we teach our children these things growing up, but we show them different things. You know, we've all experienced it. Our parents say one thing and we see another. You know, people go to church and say God said I don't drink, and we see them in the liquor house. People say, don't cheat on your wife, and we see him running around with two, three different women. Or two, three different men. You know? Don't have sex unless you listen, and we see it. We show it to them. We've got to set the example. We can't tell. In other words, we teach our children, do as I say, not as I do. That ain't been working, brother. We've got to be honest with ourselves. That means my children, we've got to set the example. You know, lead
That's what change
by
happens.
Example. That's how it happens, brother. We've got to set this. We have to set the example. So when your children see you, You know, they look up and have that, they're proud of us anyway. We kill it, pride, in some of the things that our actions do, but our children love us and they want to be like us most of the time. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for the leadership. They're looking for the father. They're looking for the mother. They're looking for the guidance. Show me the greatness that's in me. Because you're my child. The same greatness I have is in you. I've got to show it. I've got to develop it. I have to cultivate it. That's what parents do. That's what gods do, brother. Yeah, right. I hope that answered the question.
Thank you. Yes, you did. Thank you, sir. Got to be honest with ourselves and set the example. That's a good way to get change. Got to set the example. All right, let's go to the lines now. 845-277-9250. 845-277-9250. 845-277-9250. All right, we're going over to 804-4692. We're starting off with that. 4692, you're live, you're on. Do you have a question, comment, or statement for Black History Month?
Well, good afternoon and happy Black History Month. Just a couple of comments. One is I wanted to speak to the question about knowing truth. And I'm of the opinion and would love to hear what anyone thinks about the fact that I believe that some of us have been repeating lies to ourselves that we've been taught so long.
Yep.
That we've lost the ability to know truth. Some of us need rehabilitation and some of us need resurrection when it comes to the truth. And I just, I'm curious to know what some of those thoughts are around that. That's my comment.
All right. Thank you, sister. I like that. All right, Brother Booker, you chimed off real quick. You want to go with that one first?
I would say I agree with the sister 2,000% because we teach our children and we pass along things that we can't prove is true or not. We just teach it to them because we've been taught that. You know, and that's when we tend to lose, over time, our children. I'll use this again as an example, and I'm not trying to pick on anything or any religion or anybody or talk about what's good, what's right, but I'm just saying, all of us as children, most of all of us went through this. When you're growing up, you hear about the church, go to church, you're going to get this and this and this, and we're even made to go to church. And the whole community back in them days, everybody was in a church of some sort. But then children, as teenagers and so forth, most of us didn't go back to church. Because, as I said earlier, we start to see, well, we see you in church doing one thing, saying one thing on Sundays, but we see you in the community throughout the week doing exactly what you said we're not supposed to do. And then we see other people moving out of the neighborhood, and they don't live near us, but they come back for church, and they take their money, and they go back where they live. So, and then we get to the point as children, we said, that ain't for me. I don't believe it. And we shy away from it now. We probably go back. Most of us are not going back when we get older, 40, 50 years old, when we get close to death for some reason. We want to go back, but we shy away from it as youngsters, even to this day. Young folk ain't into religion, quote unquote. You know, and they struggling out in the real world because we say one thing and we do another. And we see it in the communities throughout this country, throughout our communities and where we live in this country. And it has not changed in my lifetime. It's been the same thing. And that's why I say we cannot teach our people something that we can't prove or know is true. We must. I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong, but can I prove it? Can I prove that it's true? If I can't prove that it's true, why am I passing it on to my children? I agree with the sister 2,000%, brother. Like I said, yes, sir, we definitely need to to look at what we're passing along and what we're teaching. I don't want to use no big word. It's very important that we get to the point where we can prove what we're passing on to our children. I mean, we got to stop Easter Bunny. We raise our children on Easter Bunny knowing it's a lie. Ain't no such thing as an Easter Bunny. I hope there ain't no children on the phone listening to this call that's in that early ages stage of Santa Claus. We tell them don't lie to us, but then we tell them lies. And then when they get older and see, oh, it was just a little white lie, it was all in fun. Child said, well, I was lying to you then. It was all in fun. You know, we have to be real, brother. We've been hammering on this all day. We've got to be honest with ourselves. And like I said, the sister was right on, brother. She was right on. I can't say no more.
Thank you for your truth. All right, let's go back to the line. We're going over to 314. I see you got your hand raised. 4953. 4953. Welcome to the show. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, you know you got a major problem. Is that Mr. Bridges just speaking?
Oh, no, he's not on the line right now. This is Brother Pionke. How you doing, sir?
Yeah. These kids, these black kids are at the bottom of the ladder when it comes down to academics. Now, there's a lot that's doing well, but it's too many that's not.
Right.
They can't compete. And that starts off early with the family, the parents, community. They can't compete, and that's a tragedy. Reading and math. Mathematical problems, when you check them, they do reveal the truth. Cross-checking does reveal the truth. They get to these historical black colleges, it takes them 6 years to accomplish what should be done in 4 years. Thus by, what does that mean? They're paying 50% more in tuition. That's got to stop before it's too late. All I got to say.
All right. Agreed. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your call. Now, let's look at some solutions, right? I'm all for pointing out the problem, but the solution is what? How do we bridge the math and reading gaps, right? Because we know they're there, right? They're apparent. We know that there's some kids who are being pushed along, right? No child left behind. We got that part. But as we continue to think about solutions, right, because if our children are deficient, right, in this system, because you don't hear about kids who are in private school coming up deficient and going 6 years in HBCUs. And here's the point. When you look at, in my opinion, those kids probably wouldn't qualify for a PWI, number one, but they, at least they're graduating, even if they graduate with 6 years knowing that they came in deficient and they learned the skills and they were nurtured and developed. So I agree it's taking longer than normal, but when we can get them through, we still got them through, because the school-to-prison pipeline says that they're not going to make it to college at all, being deficient and coming from a system of deficiency. So as we look at our public school systems, for example, and the education train that they're on that's driving them toward the pipeline, how do we as community members, right, empower our children after school programs that foster reading or math skills, for example? Who's willing to step up to the plate and say, I'll be there when school ends to help, for example? Who's willing to say, I'll do online tutoring, for example? Whatever we can do to be able to engage and disrupt these programs from happening, right? Because the real deal is, and the brother's right when it comes to parenting, right? That means the parents got to get engaged to have their children to sit down and do the work, right, if they're going to compete. But, again, part of it, I'm not blaming the system because, again, it's on us now, right? And on this show, we got to take responsibility for what's not happening in our community. So if we know 70% of our children are deficient, how do we engage that? Right, and what strategies do we put in place on the ground to ensure that every child is being taken care of and that's being provided for mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, and culturally? All right, I'm going back to the lines on my soapbox. Brother George, you want to grab at that?
go back to the lines.
Grab it. Which question?
Just the question that he said about our kids being deficient.
Yeah, well, that's a lot. You know, in defining what's going on with our people, period. Every system that's set up is not designed for every group of people. And so I think that it's quite a few changes that need to be made in order to fix the problem that we have of being interested in learning. Because the original educational systems were set up to solve the problems of the people. And so from those solutions, we developed the culture, because we realized that those solutions that we came up with would work well just about every time. Okay, nowadays we've come from a system of chattel slavery, which is generation to generational slavery. It's hard really for people to envision the impact that that has on a group of people to be made irrelevant. And then we have to come back from irrelevancy to relevant through a system of systematic institutional racism. And that's what our children are taught, in a racist system. Anytime that a governor can come in and say, we're taking all of the relevant black books out of our library, how are we supposed to function well in a system like that? So it's, you know, it's things that I come from a family that benefited greatly from the educational system. Many of my aunts were teachers. And so it's ways around the racism that's in the system to succeed in it anyway. But the majority of our people are not, because they're not put in a predicament like that. So, you know, it's I agree with what you said. If we make it through at all, it took me 3 years to do 2 years of community college. But I dropped out of high school. I went to school in the city of Philadelphia, and I had no interest at all. As much as my family were teachers and background and all that, I have no interest at all in going to school. But I always wanted to be looked upon as being intelligent amongst my peers. So I learned the world of the streets and became intelligent in that. Hold value, but to certain people. So it's a lot to unpack there, Brother Marvin, to fix that problem. But I do believe that by us taking responsibility of teaching our young children and volunteering our time, or giving our time in any way that it can happen to help our children to gain self-respect again, to gain self-esteem again, looking at themselves as more than just basketball, football, or entertainers. And I'm not saying it's anything wrong with that, but I believe in multiple intelligences, and I've been saying that lately. that our children are more than just basketball and football play, and that they also have a special skill in other things that's just as great as shooting that jump shot. So, brother, I, you know, that's my view on that. I'm not saying that I'm not trying to get into a debate with someone about how things go in the HBCUs, because I went to an HBCU as well. And I seen what he was talking about happen, that they would take, you know, 6 years or whatever to graduate, and that costs a lot more money. You know, but by the same token, like, we don't start at the same starting point as some of these other people.
True.
And so, you know, that's just a complicated question, man, that we need to maybe sometime have a roundtable discussion about.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Brother George. I'm going back to the lines. I'm going over to 804-9155, 804-9155. 5-5, you're live. You have a question or comment on our Black History Celebration show. 9-1-5-5. Going once. Going twice. Gone. All right, 0946, you're up next. You have a question or comment, statement.
Yes, good afternoon, good afternoon. I have a comment. And first of all, I want to say I am so thankful for this platform. And I just want everybody to take a deep breath and understand this. We are good people. My suggestion, starting from that core and understanding that, will move us from what I call classification versus identification. We are in a system that has classified us as Black. We didn't ask for that name. And I think we are trying to, in my opinion, overcome it, make it a better word, empower it. But it's nothing but a word. So I don't relate to Blackness the way the system does, in that it's political. I didn't call myself Black. The dominant culture has done that. So I think it's important for us to understand that we have been classified as Black, but that doesn't mean that's how I identify. I identify as a human being. Period. And I think that if we understand that we don't have to prove ourselves, we did not do anything wrong. And I think in the system, it's so easy sometimes to slip into that mode because the messaging is perpetual that there's something wrong with us and we need to be fixed. Our children are in a public education school system across the board, white and Black. The reading proficiency level of students that are being educated in a public system are dismal. What ends up happening, though, is that because we're only 14% of the population, instead of them making comparisons based on numbers, they use percentages, which insinuates that we are doing worse. So if you take 100 people, and out of that 100 people, 50 of the 100 are, let's say, illiterate, then of that 100, then they'll say, well, 50% of that group is this. But if I take another group and there's 250 and I say, I take 1,000 and I do 20%, out of 1,000, and that's 200. But that would only be like 20, that would be a smaller number, 20%. But it's, we got to understand, I'll just say it like this, because I don't know if I'm doing a very good job of explaining that. We have to understand the statistics that we are receiving, where they came from. So if someone's giving us a percentage, that's one thing, but what's the numerical value? So I'm saying that this system constantly pits us with this, oh, we are doing so horrible, we are doing so bad. We, listen, we are only six generations or decades, that means a generation and a half, from the 60s. And I'll end with this. I think we're doing pretty good considering where we came from and where we are today. And let's be careful not to buy into the hype. There's nothing wrong with us. We're not broken. We don't need to be fixed. We are dealing with a broken system that is not designed with us in mind. So we have to approach it differently and understand what we are up against, and it, and be careful not to let it become the mirror of who they say that we are. Because if our kids are getting out with the percentage marks that they're getting, with this public education that they're getting, the lack of up-to-date school books, we're doing really good. So I just want to say and end it with this. We as a people, descendants of our African ancestors here in the United States, we're good people. We've always been good people. We have always taken everybody else in. We've taken the ones that nobody wants. We've always had open arms. So I just want to remind us, we're good, because it's just so easy to get caught in this trap that there's something wrong with us. We are in a system that's not designed for us, and we are having to adapt and adjust, and I think we're doing a great job. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, my sister. All right. Let's go over to 4692. 4692. Let's get them in before we go. 4692.
I'm going to try to be really, really quick, co-signing on what the last caller had said. I really think it's time for us to go back to the drawing board and create our own educational environments, notwithstanding the land-grant institutions that are known as historically Black colleges and universities. I am a product of that, and I will tell you that I will take an engineer coming out of North Carolina A&T State University at any time, whether it's 4 years, 5 years, or six, compared to those that are being produced in our majority institutions. And the reason I say that is because I went to a school that at the time the motto was, we are going to reach those who have been deemed unreachable. We are going to teach those who have been deemed unteachable. The truth of the matter is just what my sister said. All of us don't start out with the same footing, but the fundamental essence of what we have in the institutions and establishments that we start out as a foundation is that we are not going to put you in situations for you to be unsuccessful. So if you arrive on day one at many of our institutions and you are not as equipped as you ought to be, we're going to work to help close those gaps. We're not going to throw you away, discard you, and tell you that you can't do and you can't learn. And so I'm the one who put the comment in Slido that said, I want to start an academy that focuses on educating our youth first with knowledge of self, and then all the other things will follow. When we understand the oneness that came out of our being, then we can get back to the fundamentals, because we've made contributions that are leading this world, whether it's in technology, whether it's in philosophy, whether it's in art. We are at the top of the food chain. And I think so many of our youth, all of that human capital is being held down for political and ill will begotten means. And it's up to those people who are listening to this broadcast, those who are contributing to it, to make a difference. We're talking about it. Mr. Marvin, you asked for solutions. We need an institution in the Commonwealth of Virginia, North Carolina, Louisiana, wherever people are. we need an institution that's willing to do the hard work, and I'm looking for people to work with. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're going into overtime. I got Dr. Bruce in here. All right. And the show continues. I'm just going to carry it on for a little while longer. Let me go back to Dr. Booker. Dr. Booker, you had a comment. What you got for me, brother?
Well, I'm just going to say a couple quick things. Stop blaming the children. Stop blaming our youth. You know, we can't talk about what our youth not doing, what they aren't doing, what they haven't done, how slow they are. How, and I agree with the sisters. We can't, you know, all the obstacles that they put in front of our youth and so forth. We cannot stop blaming the youth. It's on us, the adults in the room. We're the ones. We haven't properly prepared our children. Back in the 60s, we had this beautiful saying, save the children, because we're expecting the children to save us all. We haven't saved the children. You know, that we got to stop blaming our children and understand something else. Mama, I apologize before I say this, Mama, but in this system in which we are living, niggas are doing exactly what the system designed niggas to do. That's it. Because, and black folk agree with me when I say this, if we become truly free, the system will fall. Let me say that again. If we become truly free, the system will fall. Because the system is built on us being niggas. Stop blaming our children. You know, we got to be honest with ourselves. That's a part of it, brother. That's all I wanted to throw
right
in there.
Thank you,
sir.
Brother Booker. I'm going over to Cabulan. Appreciate you, brother. All right, he got his hand up. Brother Cabulan, bring it.
Yeah. Yes, we're looking at education by European standards. I know I got five uncles who built their own house and they didn't finish high school. And I got people who got master's degrees and PhDs and can't even build a dollhouse. We get amnesia. We forget Elijah Muhammad only had third grade education. And he had publishing houses, restaurants, grocery stores, laundromats, shipping industry, airport transportation system. Malcolm X had an eighth grade education. So we have been, we look at things through European islands. Now you hear, if you go online, you'll find out the employers now want people with the skills and not degrees. There's nothing wrong with the degrees, but if you got degrees on your resume, you don't want to list a whole lot of degrees. You want to list what have you done as a result thereof. And some have not done anything as a result thereof. But you got people who got skill-based, who lack skills. They can build their own house. They can do plumbing. They can do electric work and things like that. So we got to stop looking at education in European eyes. That's it, Marv. Let somebody else talk.
All right. Thank you. That's great. That is great. That is wonderful. We appreciate it. And now I'm going to go up for final comments with Brother George, and then we'll wrap it up for today. Brother George, what you got for me?
Well, I think everything, you know, that needed to be said, you know, on this show has already been said. Like I said, a topic like that needs its own show, and it might need a couple of shows. You know, so I think that the point was well taken from the previous people who spoke.
All right, thank you, brother, as always. As we wrap up this first Saturday of Black History Month, right, we're celebrating 365 days here, right? The sister is asking for support for her virtual academy, right? If you're interested in helping her to share the truth about our history and our people and our world and to move forward in oneness, reach out to me, right, and I can get you in touch with her because we can do it. We can work together. There's so many things that we need to do, right? We need to facilitate some things, and we need to organize ourselves. But also, we need to be extremely strategic, right? And all of those quotes and catchphrases we must be aware of. And then take the proper measures, but also precautions, right, to move forward together, right?
We can do it if we only begin to, as Brother Booker said, come together and unify as one. We don't have to all have the same identity or the same philosophy or the same idea, but we got to be on the same page, going in the same direction. And that is the protection of our people, the protection of our minds, the protection of our hearts, but also the education of our children, right? The development of our communities. And we can do that, right? But we have to do that one person at a time, one community at a time, one family at a time, one heart at a time, one mind at a time. And we can do that. It's doable. We have a great blueprint already in place. We have blueprints. Garvey had a blueprint. Elijah Muhammad has a blueprint. There are so many others who have a blueprint for how we can do what we need to do. And there's others, right? Brilliant geniuses that continue to come along with ideas and concepts to help our people help themselves. So it's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Thank you for joining us. Join us next week if you're in Richmond. Stop by, say hi, shake a friend's hand, and get to know us as we continue to explore how we can help us help ourselves. I'm Marvin Rowan. It's Empowerment Saturday. Until next week, peace and blessings. Oh, yeah.